Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord together. I'm excited. I studied a history lesson this morning, and I'll share with you what I discovered. And I had read it many times, you know, as we read the Old Testament. But I never saw it come alive like I did this morning. And that might be because we were in a holy place on Sunday night. And Hines bought a book that he's going to mention to you. And we've talked about speaking in tongues here and the empowerment, what it does for you. Man, Hines said he'd buy that book just to see if this guy was right that wrote it. But he's educated Hines on some things because Hines shared those things with him. You know, and as I think about what we might come to understand in this meeting today, it's exciting because we haven't got it all figured out, in case you didn't know. And anyway, I'm about to get rolling here. And before I do that, I need to ask Chris Roberts to come up. I asked Chris to ask a blessing on the meeting. We're always glad to have Chris with us. Great friend for a long time. Chris Roberts.
Well, Father, we're grateful to be together. We're grateful, Father, that you never leave us or forsake us, and that you've made your home, you, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, have made your home in each one of us. So we're never going to leave you. You're never going to leave us. We're thankful for that. But Lord, we recognize your power and presence when two or three gather together, and it's our desire here, Lord, to lift you up and to glorify you. We lift up the speaker, everything that takes place here, Father, and we just invite your power and anointing that folks would get set free, people would be healed, and you'd be glorified. We ask your blessing on this meal in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, many times we decide we're going somewhere, or we decide that God's direction for us is a certain thing, a certain way. And we get started in that direction, and suddenly we're not getting the things done we thought we'd get done. Heard a story over the weekend about a grandson that was at a fair with his grandmother, and he wanted to get his face painted. And he went up there and got in line, and he got up to the lady, and the young lady that was painting faces says, "Well, I don't see anywhere to paint on your face. You got freckles all over you. There's not room to paint." And it depressed him. She was joking with him, but he was really sad, and he went over to the side, and his grandmother says, "Son, I think your freckles are beautiful. I would love to be covered with freckles. I think they're so beautiful. What do you think?" He said, "I think wrinkles are beautiful." So it's kind of in perspective, putting things into perspective. As I think about God's direction, I think about several years ago, I went out to Scottsdale, Arizona, and I decided that I was going to fly Southwest, and at that time, they weren't in Atlanta. I had to go over to Birmingham to get on Southwest. But, you know, that plane didn't take me directly to Las Vegas or Scottsdale. It stopped in Denver, and I didn't want to go to Denver. I wanted to go to Las Vegas and then Scottsdale from there. And then I started thinking about the people that live elsewhere always have to come through Atlanta. They have to stop in Atlanta, and that is not even where they want to go. I thought about God's direction so many times. We started in that direction, like I said, but we get sidetracked into something and wonder, did we miss God? And it may not be. It may be part of the route that God is taking us to learn a particular thing that will help us so we'll be equipped to help somebody else down the road. I was reading this morning about Joseph. Joseph, if you remember, was sold by his brothers. They were going to kill him because he was a favorite son. They were going to put him in a deep well. But they decided to sell him into slavery. If you remember the story, he ended up being in Potiphar's house, who was a royal guy and had servants and all this. But Joseph was so good that Potiphar ended up putting him in charge of everything. Potiphar's wife liked Joseph. He was a young guy, and she wanted him to go to bed with her, as a matter of fact, and he didn't want to do it. He stood by what he knew was right, and he refused to do it. He said, "Potiphar's put me in charge of all this, and I wouldn't dare do that." And you might remember the story. There was one day that she tried to grab him and take him into the bed, and he got away and left his cloak there. So she ends up saying that he was attacking her and got him put in jail. When he was in jail, there was the cupbearer from Potiphar was put in jail because he wasn't doing well. The chief baker was put in jail. And those two guys had a dream. Each one of them had different dreams. And they let Joseph know that. And Joseph interpreted those dreams. Now, in Genesis 39:2, as these people, they eventually, Pharaoh was the one that had put them in jail. And as they remembered that Joseph had interpreted dreams, they asked him to interpret his dream. And one of them, the one that was the cupbearer, he told him that he was going to be restored. And that happened. And Joseph said, "Remember me when you get there. Remember, I'm still in prison." Now, what I was impressed with all the way through this, Joseph stood by the right thing all the way through. And many of those things was not what Joseph expected. He didn't expect to be put in jail. He thought when he ran from Potiphar's wife, he was doing the right thing. Yet it came back and really worked against him when he was fleeing and left his cloak there. And I was thinking about how that ties in so often with the frustrations that we run into, the obstacles we run into, trying to do what we think is right. And many times we could just give up and say, "Well, that wasn't for me." But if we really know God's direction, and we really know the biblical principles that will keep us on the straight and narrow toward that direction, we'll have the peace that will let us say, "Well, the stock market crash for the last couple of days is just something that we'll get through." And I mention that because, man, I didn't plan on that. I got an email from Schwab telling me that I need to deposit some more money in my account, and I didn't do it. Well, it's back up today. Well, I've still got to talk with those people and see what I got to do. But that certainly is not something I had in mind when I put those different positions in the stock market. And it's so different than what it has been for the last 3 years. As we start to think that we've got these things figured out, like I said in the beginning, we don't have it figured out. But what we should have figured out is we have the ability to overcome all these things if we keep our relationship with the Lord right. He's not only going to give us the guidance. He's going to give us the new ideas on what we need to do to make adjustments as we face the obstacles and the disappointments. In fact, what happened with this cupbearer, he got called back up to the Pharaoh. They put him back in position there. And Pharaoh had a dream. And he remembered Joseph. In fact, when they got Joseph back up there, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne, only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So because of what Joseph had accomplished in his relationship with that cupbearer in prison, he was able to get back in a position. That cupbearer did remember him. He was able to get back in a position that was greater than the position he was in before. As we think about the things that we're doing that just don't seem to be working out right, don't focus on those things. But focus on, what is God doing? God, show me how I'm supposed to work this in with what I thought. This is something I've got to overcome. Show me how to do it. And may even pray in tongues. Yeah. And it may come to you. Yeah. During that prayer. I believe as we are an example, just as Joseph was an example, a consistent, ethical person that's doing the right thing wherever it is, others are drawn to him. And others recognize Joseph, his ability, and want to be able to have him close to them. They'll be the same way by us. They'll be able to discern a difference in us than's in the world. And we not only will be able to help ourselves in a big way, we help them. And that's the main thing. That's where it starts, helping others. And we ourselves are helped from that. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Heinz.
Thanks, Larry. I'm Heinz Wagoner, and Larry and I have had the privilege of co-hosting this meeting since 1985. The purpose is to provide a platform for a businessman to share his faith and how that works in the marketplace. Our main speakers are always businessmen who profess Christ, who are not in full-time ministry and currently employed, and we recommend no teaching, preaching, or selling, unless you need some variable drives from Eddie or some satellite equipment from me or a little real estate from Larry. But anyway, other than that, no teaching, preaching, or selling. Yeah, okay. But Larry and I did have the privilege of going to the Christ Fellowship, also known as the North Georgia Revival, in Dawsonville. Sean McNeely's daughter, Jessica, was getting baptized. And so Larry and I went up there. And what an amazing place. And the number of young people. I mean, there were so many people, 60 or below. And just kidding. Okay, I'm just waiting for that to sink in, but they were probably in their teens. I mean, I bet there were 1,000 kids there and jumping for Jesus and excited for him, and you know, and anyway, and but they also had baptisms at the end of the talk. A couple people shared, both the pastor Todd Smith, and I've got a DVD of Todd Smith on Sid Roth's. It's Supernatural show. They're back there on that table where other CDs of past speakers are. Those are all free. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. And but he had an open vision for, I think he said, 15 to 20 minutes, 15 to 18 minutes, where he looked out on the baptismal tank, which was empty, but he saw it filled with water and fire on top of it. And the Lord spoke to him and said that he was going to release his spirit in that tank. And so I think there have been 7,000 people that have been prayed for. In this video, you'll see an x-ray of a lady that had 40 cancerous tumors. She went in the tank, was prayed for, came back, had the x-rays taken again. They were all gone. All gone. And they are very careful to document what happens there, what Jesus does. And Todd was grew up in a great Southern Baptist environment, had really some trouble with the gifts of the Spirit, and God really revealed to him the importance of it, to where he's even written a book called Speaking in Tongues, which is one of the best books that I've that's been written about speaking in tongues. And he starts by talking about some articles about that from the New York Times. And first chapter was the New York Times in tongues. Second chapter, a university study supports Bible explanation of speaking in tongues. Three, boost your immune system. Anyway, then he goes through his testimony, scared to death, and a few other things that happened to him. But I think the thing that was kind of most compelling about that was you could sense that the Holy Spirit really had control of the meeting. Don't you think, Larry? And if they needed to stop and pray and, you know, whatever, they would do that. And that's a powerful thing. I would highly recommend you check that out. And just look up North Georgia Revival, and you can find the website there. If you're here for the first time and you feel comfortable doing so, just stand where you are, give us your name, how you found out about the meeting, and the kind of work you're in, or if you're in a job transition, the kind of work you're looking for. So anybody want to do it? Okay. I'll give you this if you don't preach.
Don't worry. My name's Chris Byrne. I was invited by Miss Lori Hoffman, who's seated right here. She's lovely. I hope you all know her. Otherwise, I'm just a weirdo who walked in off the street. So she invited me because she and I have connected through C12. And I worked for a long time in higher education and now have recently gone back to ministry for college students. So I'm at Emory and Oxford. Grew up around here in Snellville. Went to Georgia Tech for college and then have been kind of in and out of higher education and college ministry ever since. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Anybody else? First time? Chris, what's your last name?
Byrne.
Great. Thank you. Is that it? I think we'll go ahead and introduce our speaker.